When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for joining us on CarCast. I'm Adam Kroll. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there.
Hey, how are you?
So much going
Castrol
on.
Castrol CarCast.
Oh, Castrol CarCast.
Castrol CarCast. I got you.
Thanks, man. Castrol CarCast.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot going on. I think I'm getting the different drummer car back tomorrow.
Ooh,
from,
nice.
Always love getting a race car back. I love a race car.
Yeah. I like the videos that he sends of it firing up and driving down the street. That gets me excited. It gets me tingly in my bits.
Yeah, did we show that video on this show of the car zipping down the highway?
No, we did that. We did that on the
on ACS, but I don't think we did it here.
This is a car show.
It's a car show. I'm going to thank Castrol Edge Titanium Strong for maximum engine performance for the show. Bet Online. Go to betonline.ag. Enter podcast one. Geico, geico.com, and Zybar as well. So. We got back from the auctions. We had a big auction weekend. The auction, we went to RM. We brought the Miura. We brought the 350. I'd say the overall tone of the auction was pretty good in terms of sales. I don't think anything broke the bank. There were a couple of buys, couple of good buys. There were a couple things that did a little better than they normally do, like a Ferrari Daytona, that nice Ferrari Daytona that ended up all in at 775, which is high for those cars.
Bo Bachmann came out the big winner with his ugly Ferrari wagon, but funky cool and right? Like, I don't even know how to explain it because you'd have to find the images. We'll have to put up an image.
Yeah, they call them the sort of shooting brake. They've been around. Yeah. There's a few of them. They're based on a 330. The Gull Wings all sort of came in where the Gull Wings come in, and the stuff was the...
My surprise was the 955, the 959 Comfort did not sell, and it was maybe, what, about 80 cars, but there's only about 10 or so that had a reserve. The rest were no reserve cars,
I didn't know.
959 did not sell.
I didn't know. Was it... I know you said it before. We went out and filmed it, so we'll be able to have it for you. I did not know... I mean, I know you've said it before, but I was still surprised with a kind of accusatory tone that there that percentage of them were non-reserve cars.
Yeah.
Was it really many?
We can double check our...
You can look it up because...
Our hammer price.
We should we should look into that. So our car sold. They didn't get the money we wanted. They never do. Or sometimes they do, actually. But in this case, they didn't. But I needed the money to buy a house. So we're going to turn the page and get on with our goddamn lives. They both just got to the reserve. One was $2 million, the other was $500,000. And again, lower than what I think the cars are worth. But the market spoke. And I got a new house to work on. So that is my life. Also, other race cars to try to procure and sort of get under the garage.
Yeah, so about 35 cars that had a reserve and the rest no reserve, so not quite the numbers I was thinking of, but more than half.
So there were 80 cars all in, huh?
Yeah, let's see, we got it was 168 that started at 168, went to 241.
Yeah, but that's more like 70, right? Or 73.
Yeah, so maybe half the cars, a little less than half the cars had a reserve and a little more than half were
not
reserve.
But that ain't 10 out of 80.
The
just yell, I apologize,
right. Yes,
Your Highness.
I'm wrong.
Yes. It was about half the cars were no reserve.
It seemed like at the time when we were scrolling through.
This is why one must do one's research before one speaks, man. All right. So, yeah, I mean, it was...
The Cobra didn't sell. The 289 Cobra didn't sell.
Cobras are a little weird. You know, the thing about Cobras and all things Shelby, and for that matter, Ferrari to some degree, I think people had a thought that when the old man died or the old men died, it would shoot up like an artist. And it never really did. You know, Shelby died and the cars didn't really weren't affected.
Yeah.
Which is a little counterintuitive. And Ferrari, I think it was kind of the same thing. Like the cars were just the cars. They were either going to do what they were going to do or they weren't. But there was a thought within the industry that when Carroll Shelby goes, and Carroll Shelby had like a heart transplant, a liver transplant, like an everything transplant.
Yeah.
So like the notion of him going went on for like 15 or 20 years,
yeah,
right? Like this guy's going to go. And they were saying that for 20 years before he died.
I want to say he was the oldest living heart transplant recipient.
I think he was the oldest living double organ recipient or
yeah,
something like that, and maybe heart as well. It could have had both yeah, records. Either way, the stuff didn't really move. The Cobras are kind of a weird car because everyone agrees they love them. Everyone agrees they're valuable, but people haven't agreed that they're a million-dollar-plus car. Sometimes,
yeah,
with the right racing history, if they are competition Cobras, they go over. Actually, here's an interesting metric or yardstick or tool of measurement.
Right.
You ready? We're constantly talking about focusing on race cars. We're constantly talking about shifting the collection slowly, selling street cars to buy more race cars,
yeah,
and track cars. Personally, you know, the street cars are great. They look great. They're great for shows and stuff like that. But you really can't go out and punish them, you know. And the race cars, you can go flog those cars,
yeah,
and have a good time. And I don't mean a good time like Cars and Coffee, good time,
yeah, yeah,
which is standing in front of your car telling people about it. But I mean like really going and driving those cars.
Right.
And so I think ultimately for us, that seems to be the end game. Let's get out and drive these cars. Plus, we love the race cars. Now, as we discussed, a race car formerly had no real value unless it was a Ferrari or one Le Mans or like whatever,
right,
you know, Mercedes-Benz,
yeah,
you know, Auto Union or something like that. But just your run-of-the-mill race cars, even with one Sebring or one Daytona, it's like, one in 87, who cares? You know, not much, mm-hmm, anything. Now everything's going up. But if people want to just kind of look at the yardstick to measure, you know, people say, well, I'm spending so much for a race car. What about the street car? Well, look no further than a Cobra. A 289 Cobra street car, nicely done, is $850,000. Maybe it's $900,000.
Right.
But it's not $1 million.
Right. That's what we just saw, I believe.
A 289 Cobra with real racing experience is 1.5, right? I mean, it kind of depends on who drove it and where they drove it and how many entries it had and how many times it podiumed. But I think it's safe to say that a 289 Cobra with good period race history is 1+.
Right.
And that plus isn't 1-1. It's 1-3,
yeah,
1-5.
And this street car, this 289 Cobra from this weekend, from RM, the estimate was $850 to $950. And it didn't sell, although with the fee, it would have definitely been in that range because the high bid was $840. But, you know, $850 to $950 is what they're saying the street car is.
Right. So it didn't sell, though.
I mean,
it got to $840.
Got to $840.
So me point is this. Now you have to add the 10% premium onto that.
Yeah.
And if it stalls out, I mean, if it hammers at $840, you got to tack another $80,000 onto,
yeah,
that. And it's going to get you to $920.
20.
Right. Okay. But here's my point. Street 289, under $1 million.
Yeah.
And that was a nice one.
That was a nice one. Yeah. White with the red interior.
Race 289 with some history. I think over 1.3 to 1.5 to 1.7, like sort of depending on how much.
Yeah.
Max Zapata, now you got to look for 289 Cobra race car and that sold recently at auction. You can look that up too. So what did we do? We took a street car, we took a race car, and the race car, we just tacked on another $500,000, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that's the difference if we're talking about street cars and race cars. Now, here's me point, and tell me what you think of this. Tell me if this is a safe statement. Cobra's unique. Cobra's pretty old. Cobra's 60s and Shelby and all that kind of stuff. If you would have gone back 15 years, maybe 20 years, I do think the street version would have sold for more than the race version. Fair statement?
Yeah. Yeah, and the one he's brought up here is a competition, a 289 competition.
Mm-hmm.
And
this 1.176 million euros, and I think that's like 1.3 million.
So there's one for sale. It's got a competition Cobra. 1.176 is probably closer to 1.4 U.S. You can look it up. Thanks for crapping on my point a little bit.
At the Goodwood Revival.
1.33.
Hmm?
1.33. I did look it up.
Oh, how dare you talk back to me. This is my wrong.
At the Goodwood Revival this year, 2018, a 289 competition sold for 1.755.
Thank you, Matthew.
And in 2015, at RM... In 2015, one sold for 1.98.
So the same car with the right history on the track is more valuable than the street-going version of itself, thus making my sort of race car, street car value arguments. The same car, one's a race car and the other's a street car. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard to do sometimes with apples to apples and because you just don't. You know, it's kind of weird. Like, you couldn't do it with a 510 because a 510 street car is worth $9,000. Yeah. But that is my example. And so we like the race cars.
We do like the race cars. We like the stories. We like the way they look. And, of course, the value of it certainly adds to it. And the number two most expensive car sold at RM this weekend was a blue Lamborghini Miura.
Oh. I feel better.
The number one was $22 million. So it was a Ferrari.
That is true. CarCast is brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is an ultra-thin coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. This stuff is the real deal, people. Put Zybar on. Take heat off. Visit Zycoat, Z-Y-C-O-A-T, Zycoat. Zycoat.com now at Zycoat.com. All right. So what else are we looking at out there in the world? So we're getting our different drummer 510 in. I couldn't be happier
about
that.
That's going to be good.
Oh.
And I see Jose grinding away on the BRE 510.
Got the BRE 510 on the rotisserie.
Yeah.
I want to clear up a little something with you. They have brass tag cars.
Uh-huh.
I think we're informed by Jim, who did the... different drummer car that it had a brass tag on it, but now I'm weirdly and confusedly because it's funny. I get older, my memory starts fading, and as my hard drive shrinks, I get more information on my hard drive. So this is lose-lose, which is I get older, my memory gets worse, and there's so much more to remember.
Yeah.
We, I believe, were talking about the Trans Am cars, the brass tag Trans Am cars, and that it was a big deal to have a brass tag on your Trans Am car. It's a little tag that looked like a fishing lure they'd put on the roll cage, and only a handful of cars had it. This is a Trans Am 510 that has B sedan and Trans Am history, and so it's kind of rare. Oh, and at some point, I believe we had this discussion, and Jim Frella, Frula, who built the car, restored the car. He said, oh, there's a brass tag on this. Now, he sent me a picture. He sent you a picture. He sent an email or something like that. Then I talked to Les, and I said, that's a brass tag car. And he said, no, it's not. And I said, isn't it? I thought Jim Frula said it was. And he said, we took that car apart and, like, dipped it and stuff. We would have known if there was a brass tag on it.
Why don't we call Jim?
I feel like there's an email floating around. On the other hand, the car's going to be here tomorrow morning. Yeah. Why don't we just have fun looking? But doesn't this all sound familiar to you?
Yeah, I thought we talked about it on the show at one point, and then Jim sent an email and he said, here's the clarification, and he defined it for us. But now I don't remember.
You have no excuses. You're young, and you don't have anything to think about. So I don't know what your excuse is. Speaking of people that don't have stuff to think about, Max Pata.
Hey, do we have you the email and
the vid of that car buzzing down the road that we can find? I don't know why. It gives me a boner.
Yeah.
Just a 510. We'll turn up the sound, man. Turn it up, man. Here we go. I love it. Take that, Johnny Law. Can't wait to get that thing out on the track. 510s were so fun. And I don't know why. Is there a car? I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to put it to Matt, and I'm going to put it to Max Pata.
Okay. By the way, I think I got his email about the brass.
All right. See if we can do this. There's certain cars, all cars look better in race trim. If you take a look at a Ferrari Daytona, when you see the car in race trim that Newman drove at Daytona, you go, oh, that's bitching.
Yeah.
But you also see a regular Ferrari Daytona, and it looks pretty bitching, too.
Yeah, yeah. The 360 GT that we looked at, the Ferrari 360 GT this weekend was badass in race trim. Not too over the top compared to a street car, but still 20% better.
But a 360 looks pretty good, too.
Yeah.
All right. A Datsun 510 looks like fried hell in non-race trim. It just looks like a shitbox. It's like the Kia of its day.
Yeah.
You know? It just, you couldn't think of anything, especially when it had like the plastic hubcaps on it, orange with the 80 series tires. It just couldn't look worse. But somehow, when you put it in race trim, it just looks so fucking badass. Like, I just love it. And it doesn't change the shape. It just... I love it.
Yeah.
Is there a car that benefits more? Now, again, this is a personal taste thing. I happen to love those. But you take Alfa Romeo GTVs or GTAs and you go, oh, they look good in race trim. Yeah, but they look pretty good in street trim.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Hand up.
Lancia.
The Fulvia. The Volva.
Everything John Campion owns.
Everything Lancia.
Everything Lancia.
It's a good call.
That guy's entire collection looks amazing in race trim, but if he had the street collection, you'd walk right past it.
But everything with a martini livery looks amazing, too.
Max Pata is about to say it's in the martini livery, which is an awesome livery, which makes everything look good.
Bonus points for nailing the martini livery for Chris Laxamana.
I was at the Quail.
Yeah. So I'm trying
to think.
But
that car is kind of ugly in street trim, the Lancia. It is kind of terrible.
It is pretty ugly in street trim, and that is a good call. And you just can't really do that with as much as I'm not a big Corvette fan.
Yeah.
They don't really change that much.
They don't change that much. Oh, you know, Aston Martin DB9's got good bones, so in race trim, it looks marginally better. Like we said, the 360 already looks good, so in race trim, it's a little bit better, but not wildly different.
Right.
You know, it's not the Lancia. It's not the 510.
Right.
You know?
And then there are cars like...
Maybe TR7?
Maybe. But it's still kind of okay, but you're right. Then there are cars like the rare racing VW Bug, which... still looks like shit in race trim, and it looked like shit when it was my dad owned one in 1972, right?
Yeah, doesn't Tanner race one in Rallycross?
Well, Tanner races, and sorry, I'm thinking about the vintage version of it. Tanner races the front engine water cooled fiberglass one-piece shell dropped on the 600 horsepower version of it with the sequential shifter and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I wonder if the proportions are in change. Like, is it stretched? Is the wheelbase different? Like, and they just put like a big... It's kind of like an RC car with a Lexan body you put on it. And just kind of...
You know what car has probably the least amount of modifications and changes when you see it in its race trim, and there are a few out there in race trim versus non-race trim, is the Mercedes Gullwing. Mm-hmm. Like, when you physically look at those cars, it's like they just put a meatball on the side of them. There's no front anything air dam. There's no rear spoiler thing. The rims look the same. Like, the tires look the same.
That must drive Pete Brock nuts. Because he's all about getting that aero dialed in, little tricky wings and air dams and splitters and brake ducts.
It is weird that when you see those cars in race trim, they virtually look like someone just drove them over there and just put a number on the side of them, right?
Yeah.
That's got to be one of the least changed cars.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it also makes you question, like, what is the race trim SL value versus the regular SL value?
I am now realizing that all things are about, I was saying to Dr. Drew for a long time, all roads lead to narcissism. And it's not always a bad thing, but they all lead to narcissism. So when you're standing around, as we've discussed before, your car's a coffee.
Yeah.
And you brought your Gullwing, which is a very rare, exotic, expensive, and beautiful car. And you say to the group of car guys there, hey, look at my Gullwing. Inevitably, three guys are going to go, oh, I had a Gullwing.
Yeah.
Because they're car
guys. It to cars and coffee.
I sold it in the 90s. Yeah, yeah. Or I had one.
Yeah.
Or I have one at home. Or I may get one. I'm looking at one. I'll bring it tomorrow. I'll bring it next Sunday. So in terms of your all roads lead to narcissism, that's basically like going, hey, everybody, I'm showing up to the Christmas party with my new girlfriend, Tammy. And then a bunch of dudes coming around going, oh, yeah, I fucked her.
Oh, yeah,
Tammy. That's right. Yeah, I used to fuck her. I'm thinking about fucking her again. Yeah. Maybe next weekend.
Yeah, to your point, we don't hate the Gullwing. We like the Gullwing. Everybody's done a lap in the Gullwing.
Not everyone's done. Wait, are we talking about Tammy now? No, I'm not. I would like to have a Gullwing.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But since all roads lead to narcissism, and somebody could easily say, oh, I used to have a Gullwing, or I have one at home, in that group.
Right.
If you were bragging to Wayne Carini about your Gullwing, he'd go, oh, man, I must have bought and sold 15 of these over the years.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, your story's not so fucking fantastic. If you're standing in front of the 935 and you go, Paul Newman drove this at Le Mans, no one else goes, oh, yeah, I got the same Porsche at home. Like, or I used to have one, too. Like, you don't have that story, right?
Right.
So if all roads lead to narcissism and everyone wants to stand in front of their car and tell the story, well, if the story is, I used to have one, or I'm getting one, or I got a friend that has two of them, kind of shits on your story a little bit.
Yeah.
Then driving it at Le Mans sort of helps your story.
Yeah.
Well, then if it's all about the story, which is all about the narcissistic impulses we all have, well, then you got to turn toward race cars, because there are thousands, not tens of thousands, but I don't know, 4,000 or maybe 2,000 Gullwings out there.
Right.
How many with real race history?
Yeah.
11?
Yeah.
19? 4? You know what I'm saying? All right. Tell us about who you got to tell us about, and
but
we'll move on.
Yeah. And to your point, like, if the funds were available, you can still go and get a Gullwing. You go to any auction and just get one, and somebody else can get one, you know?
Right.
Let me tell you about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning. You can pick up some milk. Now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. If you just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
Geico, baby. So what else is going on? I talked to Skip Barber yesterday. I told you.
Yeah.
Skip Barber. Look up Skip Barber for me. He's always had the racing school. I'm guessing legendary racer and blah, blah, blah. I did his podcast, and he invited me to come out to Lime Rock and race in a professional Trans Am race. I, of course, said, yeah. Not paying, but
yeah,
we'll find someone to pay for it. But if we can get me a ride in a professional Trans Am car at Lime Rock. Lime Rock is a, I think it's a bucket list track if you're a Paul Newman fan and everything else. So hopefully Skip won three SCCA national championships in a row. So he obviously knows his way around Lime Rock. And I think it'd be a fun thing to go out there and get in a professional Trans Am car. I have no idea how the series works. I think it's coming up around my birthday.
Yeah. Is that a Claudio Burton participated series? I guess it's a Trans Am. I guess he's in there. I don't know.
About
it. Like, 'cause we just talked about it yesterday and I don't know about what they're doing, what their plan is.
Maxipata can look it up, but I think it's Lime Rock. I guess you'd have to go on the schedule. I think it's my birthday is Labor Day or Memorial Day. I always screw that up.
So do I. I really don't know which one.
End of May. Labor Day.
There's nothing in May on their website.
Or Memorial Day.
On Lime Rock or Trans Am? While you're looking that up, do you want me to just tell you about this brass tag thing real quick?
Yeah.
Jim said the brass tag, as far as he knows, brass tags were large and small bore Trans Am cars when they first started that system. And he said that the brass tag has like five digits on them. The first two digits, it's like a 10-243, for example. The first two digits were they designate the region.
Mm-hmm.
And then the three digits after that is the number in the logbook.
Oh, Memorial Day. Is that my birthday?
Yeah, Memorial Day is May 27th, so it's the last week.
How did I get so fucking old? Boy, did we do a bad job of celebrating me, the Corolla family. I never knew. People always go, Memorial, for 54 years, people have been going, Memorial Day weekend's coming up. And I'd be like, okay. Oh, yeah. And then they go, your birthday's on that weekend. I'd go, it is. And then we'd go the next year and I'd say the same thing every year.
Yeah, you always have an extended weekend on your birthday.
Right.
You never know.
I don't like to celebrate me though, but I do like Achievement Day. And it would be, so is that my birthday weekend?
Yeah. Memorial Day is your birthday next year.
That'd be taking
a Trans Am would be a nice achievement day.
Achievement Day and birthday and doing a professional Trans Am race at Lime Rock. All right, good. Sorry, what do you got? Yeah.
He was just saying that the brass tag was stamped with the region and then the logbook designation, logbook number, and the ones that didn't participate and get the brass tag would just have the numbers stamped into the roll bar hoop.
Oh. So I don't have a brass tag?
Why do I have attached photo below?
Why do I have such a strong memory of something with a brass tag on that car?
Download photo. Let's see.
All right. We'll see what we can do. You are driving and we're driving. I saw something nice pass me on the freeway.
Stamped roll bar, brass tag.
Stamped, so we got a...
Yeah, but he found the number. It's on there. He's
okay,
got it.
Okay, good. All right. Well, not as fun as a brass tag, but at least I don't feel like a total insane person because I remember we had a brass tag discussion and a picture.
Right.
But it was a picture of not of a brass tag, but of the stamping.
But it was
of the
stamping. And to be fair, it's kind of got a color to it. Like you can sort of visualize it.
Looks like a brass tag.
You know.
All right. The I had a Infiniti sort of sports sedan passed me on the freeway the other day. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. It must be the new G something.
Yeah.
Based on the 370 platform or something. But it was a good looking piece of road going car.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me of the new Lexus. You know, you and I love the architecture of, I think we like the M6. Yeah. We like the big Lexus. We like the stuff that's like big shoulders and big haunches and front engine and like way more car than should have two doors, but just two doors on these big old bricks of cars. And that's just always a good look to
me. It is a good look. It's funny because on the show earlier this week with Goldberg, we were talking about used cars, and I said I felt like a good kind of used car I just started looking into, sold the Alpha, maybe get another commuter car, would be the 2011 through 2014 Mercedes CL63, the big full-size two-door coupe. The CL63, which is the turbo 8, not the 12, that's the 65.
Mm-hmm.
That car was $175,000 to $200,000, depending on the options. You get one with 50,000 miles for $45,000.
It's a
47
beast.
Grand.
It's a beast.
And it still looks good.
Yeah. It's what we're talking about. It's haunchy, thick, heavy, sturdy car.
Full-size coupe. I like a full-size coupe.
Birth and hips.
Yeah.
But what is the Infiniti I'm thinking of? Max bag, you're going to have to look at...
I don't know if they have a big one like the Lexus, but the Infiniti has a coupe.
Put in like Infiniti Sports Coupe or something. It passed me on the freeway, and I was like, that's a good-looking
Amelia car. Island, a couple years ago, they Infiniti lent us a car to drive around. It was a coupe. It was a little more 3 Series-ish size.
We went and saw the 400, or sorry, I'm calling it the 400, the Lexus, whatever there, which is another big...
The big one, the LC500 we drove.
I like
And I like that car. That car was fantastic.
I had another Lexus just pass me when I was walking Phil last night on the street. And I like the way Lexus is looking. They're looking strong. This is the... what is this?
Is that the one
thing?
That's the Q60?
Yeah.
Q60, yeah. Tell me some of the specs on that, because that looks like a solid mobile.
Yeah, that's a good-looking car.
The thing about Infiniti is because they're not BMW and they're not Mercedes and not Porsche, they're sort of like the chunky chick that's got to really put out. You know what I mean? Like, she got to really knock your socks off in that sack. And that's what Infiniti does. I feel like, it's not a BMW and it's not a Porsche, but they gotta beat it in all the departments and then come in a little bit cheaper, right?
Yeah, they do. And Acura, they kind of have to, But I there's nothing wrong with the Infiniti. I think it's a pretty good car. I mean, we haven't spent time in it.
But. Nothing wrong with it at all. I'm just saying if 60,000, if you did... What is 60,000 worth of Porsche buy you? What is 60,000 worth of Mercedes or BMW buy you? And what is 60,000 worth of Infiniti buy you? And they had like a scale. Yeah. I just think you'd get more car
for
60 grand.
$60,000 worth of Porsche is a used Porsche.
Right. Thank you. All right, you can look up some of the specs on that car, but that it passed me on the freeway, and I was like, that's a solid-looking car. And I think I'm old enough now where I'd probably step out of the Z but step into that car.
And that the Lexus, the LC500, which we really like, that's the car we talked about it at the San Marino Motor Classic because it has – that's the one where it's available with the really expensive paint job that looks blue but has no blue pigment.
Right.
Right, I don't know what that paint job costs, $20,000 or something. But they're going to do the rumors an LCF, which is like a 600 horsepower version of that big coupe.
Jesus Christ! All right, let me tell you about BetOnline.ag. Mm-hmm. It's the holidays, and BetOnline.ag is in the giving spirit with two incredible promos. Create a free account and use the promo code Podcast1 for a 50% sign up bonus. And refer a friend. It gives them a 200% bonus to your friend, up to $200. Such a great gift. NFL, NHL, NBA, football or basketball, or entertainment odds, early odds on the Oscars.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a prop bet on the first host dropping out 2 days after getting the nod. Go online or use your mobile phone to sign up today. And try live in-game betting. Always makes it that much more exciting. Remember, use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. You can get the holiday shopping done early. Refer a friend. Use that promo, betonline.ag, your online sportsbook expert. All right. So, yeah, we're looking at this Infiniti G60.
Q60.
So it's up to 400 horsepower. I wonder how they're doing that.
Turbo, the price range turbo from V6? About, yeah, price range from about 40K to 55K for the 2018 model.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, that's
so but 55 is probably the base price of the big engine version. And so it's probably get it into the 60s, low 60s, if for the 400 horsepower version. But you're right, it's a good looking car, and I bet it scoots around pretty good with that 400 horsepower.
Yeah. Seven speed automatic.
When are those? So when are those Lexus? The one we like, the Sport Coupe Lexus, when are they going to go full plug-in, or are they partial plug-in now and so partial electric?
I believe the LC is they have a V8 gas engine, then they have a plug-in version, and then eventually they're going to have a high-performance F version. I've driven the V8. I haven't driven the plug-in version. I don't know if it's straight plug, like a hybrid.
Is the BMW with their R8, is it R8? Jesus.
I8.
I8, I3, I4, Audi, R.
Yeah.
Too many cars, brain shrinking, cars growing. The BMW I8.
Yeah.
Are they going to have a second act with that car? Are they going to give us a world beater? Or are they going to just sort of sit back and go, hey, 18 miles, plug in, but look how bitching this thing looks?
Yeah. I'm always curious, like with a car that looks that way, they either need to ramp up the performance or ramp up the range as the electric version of it. And they're kind of floating in the middle for a while of being subpar on both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where it goes. I mean, they announced a convertible. They have a convertible available. But mm-hmm. I don't know there's much change as far as the technology. Now, the i3 got a bump. We talked about last time, got a bump in range because of a new battery.
Yeah.
And so, but maybe that is going to work its way to the i8 as well. And I mean, because you're right. It's like it's such a short range. Doubling it wouldn't make a huge difference in the world, but it would make all the difference in the world, right? Like if it's 40 range, could you get 80, and then all of a sudden it's interesting?
Yeah,
you know, because I don't really know what the range is. I don't know if it's 30 or 80 or 40 or what now.
The first iteration, which is the only iteration of that car,
I believe so,
was like 18 miles.
That's what it is, yeah.
18. What? I don't know what you do with that.
I literally work.
But it's not that fat. You know, like if you said, hey, it's a hybrid, you can put it in straight electric mode like an NSX and get 18 miles. Fine, but then if you said, but the hybrid technology makes that car 0 to 60 in 3.7 seconds because it has, you know, an electric motor off the transmission or something, then I'd be like, okay, I get it.
I'm just saying, like, I calculated my distance from work, and it was like 11 miles or something. And I'm like, I can't get to work and back on one overnight charge in, and I live relatively close to where I work, and it's like, plug it in when you get to work. It's like, listen, everybody. First things first, I don't have a charging port. I'd have to run a 50-foot cord like out the window.
Yeah.
And also, when you plug those things into just household current and use a 50-foot extension cord, you get a mile every hour and 41 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, it takes 2 days to charge.
It takes 2 days to get to 10 miles.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't give me that, just plug it in when you get to work.
Well, here's a question for you or for Chris. What is the range of an Acura NSX if you just put it in electric-only mode? And I wonder if you can do that. I wonder if it, like, if you start doing more than 60 miles an hour, it turns itself off and goes to the gas engine. Like, I don't know if it can really do that.
We're just not there yet, but man, are we close, because I just want to plug it in and go, and I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
And I don't need the world. Yeah. Like, I really feel...
Well, we're getting more and more electric options.
I'll give you a real good example. I was interviewing for Take a Knee. You guys should subscribe to that. It's kind of cool. The guy who's the CEO of NetJets or JetSuiteX.
Yeah.
And I said to him, like, you know, what's the future air travel, you know, and hypersonic and Concorde? And, you know, I want to get to Europe in 3 hours, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I want to get to Tokyo in 5 hours, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of 13 hours or whatever. And he said, how often you go to Tokyo? I go, never.
Never, because it takes 13 hours.
He's like, who's going back and forth to Europe in Tokyo? And I'm like, I don't know. Nobody. Yeah. People that can afford to fly private.
Chip Connor.
Chip Connor in his GTO Ferrari.
Yeah.
So then he said, no, the future's bing, bing, here to there.
Yeah.
I got it. We're
going, scooters. Uber scooters.
I got to get from my place in La Cañada to Seth MacFarlane's place up in the hills of Hollywood on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
I don't want to take an hour.
Right.
To take 18 minutes or
yeah.
13 minutes or 9 minutes, right? That move, those move, those short moves, that's the future. And the thing about cars and talk about plug-ins, they're like, how am I going to take the family to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
How often do you take the family to the Grand Canyon? The answer is never.
Yeah.
But how often do I go back and forth from my house to this warehouse and then back again? All day,
every day,
all the time. I do it 99.99% of the time more than I go to the Grand Canyon or 100%. So what I want is to go home, plug it in on Sunday night,
yeah.
have it be at 85 miles of plug-in range, drive it back and forth three or four times, and then on Thursday night or Friday night, just plug it in again.
Plug it in again.
That's what I want. I don't need 500 miles. Nobody really needs. How are you going to get to Vegas? I don't know. How often do you drive to Vegas? There's a Southwest flight for $89.
Yeah, I don't drive to Vegas.
My point is
so much traffic now.
My point is, it's work and back, work and back,
yeah.
Or drop the kids off at whatever practice and work and back. So sad that we've done drop the kids off at soccer practice instead of football.
I wonder why.
Because we're turning a nation of pussies. All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. They rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times stronger, fool. Against viscosity breakdown than leading oils, Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine today with Castrol Edge.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about the hybrid stuff, and at the LA Auto Show, we saw the new Porsche 911. It's the 992 designation. And this car, this chassis, if you will, is sort of designed from the ground up to support a hybrid drivetrain.
Mm-hmm.
And the Porsche Panamera Turbo S Hybrid is like the most powerful thing in their lineup right now. And it's fantastic. And there's potentially a version of that, like a Porsche 911 Turbo S Hybrid.
By the way, Max Patty, you should have been standing there when we were standing looking at the $60,000 Panamera hybrid with the dealer in Los Angeles, the Porsche dealer. And Matt said to the guy, before we pop the trunk lid, the hatch lid, he said, yeah, I think the hybrids have a smaller capacity, cubic for storage because they have to make room for the batteries in the hybrid system. And the guy goes, nope, same size as the diesel or same size as the gas-powered ones in the trunk. And he went, okay. And then the guy popped the thing up, and then the guy looked down, and then Matt went, isn't that smaller than the regular one? He went, yeah, I guess it is.
It's like 3 inches deep. It's just all battery.
Yes, I'd like to make a $63,000 purchase from you. Nobody knows shit anymore. Nobody knows a fucking thing anymore. Do you understand? 46-year-old guys who sell Porsches for a living have no fucking idea what's going on in the back hatch of that. And guess who does? The guy who has a $9,000 Alfa Romeo.
13.3.
And he used common sense.
Well, the guy overpaid. I had it.
Oh, okay. Well, he did overpay.
And also, mate, see, I was standing there going, huh, we got Matt, who's smart, who doesn't spout off when he doesn't know stuff, and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then we have the guy who works here full-time and sells these cars full-time. Jeez, I wonder who's right. He pops the thing. He's like, oh, of course Matt's right. And also, hey, dumb people of the world, shut up. Just shut up. Just shut up, because we're going to pop the thing and find out. We went and looked at that Panamera. Matt said 8 things about the car. He was right. The other guy said 4 things about the car. He was wrong on all of them.
Yeah, he doesn't even need to make a statement. If Matt says that, he could have just went, Well, let's find out.
That's the thing about dumb.
It could have been a game show.
That's the new wave of dumb people. They want to talk about stuff, but they don't know what they're saying.
This is why the car manufacturers really don't want you to go to the dealer. They want a scenario like what Lincoln's trying to do now and going, hey, you know what? We'll just show up to your house with a suitcase full of leather swatches and paint colors and go, right. Just pick what you want and we'll deliver it to the house. You don't need to come to the dealer anymore. Anyway,
all right.
Speaking of paint,
I'm
going to tell you about Zybar. But yeah, that 911 hybrid is going to be fantastic. You get like 700 horsepower. But here's the thing about it. It's because of electric motors and things like that, and battery will be in the front, you're going to get a much better weight balance. Because a 911 now is something like 39% in the front and whatever. It's,
right.
You know, 61 in the back, 39, 61.
Right.
It would be better right. balance, right?
Sure.
Zybar, I'll tell you guys about this revolutionary new product that we love here. We're excited about it. Zybar is an ultra-thin coating for manifolds, headers, turbos, tailpipes, mufflers, and tips. It has a thickness of 0.001 inch, which reduces radiant heat by 90%. It's the first DIY thermal coating of its kind. That's pretty impressive. It's non-corrosive and does not break down, even in 2,000-degree environments. It makes wraps, shields, and expensive ceramic coatings obsolete. You can use Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar comes in four awesome colors. They got bronze, midnight black, cast silver, and Porsche gray that will make your engine a showpiece. We've talked to these guys. I think they'll do you a custom color if you call them up and ask them nicely.
Yeah, it's a really cool product.
Zybar is available for purchase at Zycoat.com and many auto parts retail locations. That's Zycoat.com. It's Zycoat.com. Put Zybar on. Take heat off.
All right. Show's coming up at Flappers in Burbank on Tuesday, the 18th, this Tuesday. Also, Irvine Improv, January 24th. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Check out Chassis. Check out the Chassis store. Check out Corolla. Adam Corolla Goes Racing. You can check that at MotorTrend.com/Adam. Season 2 on there. Lots of good stuff. Check out the racing merch, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
CorollaRacing.com. Really cool hats, cool t-shirts, cool jackets, cool logos, and all that good stuff. And check out Shift and Steer as well. You can listen to that podcast one. Until next time, Adam Kroll from Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.